25 riots targeting African Americans, which broke out across the U.S. More than 1,100 blacks were violently killed. Wall Street journalist Cameron McWhirter authored the book Red Summer, The Summer of 1919 and the Awakening of Black America, which examines the legacy of Red Summer. A symposium is scheduled for July 30th and August 15th at the National World War I Museum in Kansas City. Thanks for listening. One to One, I'm Lisa Melvo. Have an awesome day.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway.
Father God, we come in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Giving you all of the glory, honor, and the praise, God. For truly, God, you are worthy of all of the praise, God. All of the glory, all of the honor belong to you, God. And Lord, we're just so grateful, God, that you're on our side, Lord God. Thank you for the privilege, God, that you allowed us to be in you, God, and you in us, God. We thank you, God, for this privilege to stand before your people, God, and speak a word from on high. We pray your blessing upon everyone under the sound of my voice, God. Every household represented here today, Lord God. We know that you know all of our needs, God. And we are certain, God, that you will meet those needs. And we want to thank you, God. Thank you for this precious pastor, God, Pastor Dunkley, Lord God, whom you have placed me under, Lord God, and his family, his lovely wife. We pray that, God, you just continue to undergird him, strengthen him, Lord God, and lead and guide him, Lord, that he may lead and guide these your people, Lord God. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord God, for the ministry of music, God, of praise, God. We just give you the glory, God. We thank you for Christ, your only begotten Son. We thank you for the power of your Holy Ghost, God. We're having a Holy Ghost good time here today, Lord God. And we want to thank you for that, my Father. Now, Lord, as we go forth in your word, Lord God, we understand, God, that without you, we can do nothing, Lord. But with you, my Father, we can do all things, God. And so, Lord, we are thanking you right now, God, for what you're doing in and through your word. Your word is blessed, God. It's a lamp unto our feet, and it will give light to our path, God. And we thank you for it right now, God. And, Lord, we just continue to ask you to bless those that are sick. Remember Vivian, continue to bless her, Lord, all of our sick and shut in, God. And then remember those that are bereaved, God. Oh, please have mercy. Remember those that are behind prison walls. Have mercy, God. And Lord, we pray most for those that are lost, God, that they would be saved, that they would come to know you, the only God. And besides you, there is no other, in the pardons of their sin, that they will come and join in fellowship with the church, God, that they might be saved. It is in Jesus' precious and wonderful name that we say thank you. Thank you, God. Mm-hmm. Amen. It is so good to be here today. I mean, we've just been having a Holy Ghost good time. And I'm just so thankful to God for that. Yes, it's just too late. I mean, we need more and more of these Holy Ghost experiences in God's church. Let him have his way. Not our will, but God, let your will be done. However you want to do that thing, God, do it. Yeah, and we'll follow the leadership and guidance of your Holy Spirit. To Pastor Dunkley, God bless you. To our First Lady, Sister Dunkley, to my husband, and to the officers and members here of Mount Olive, and to all of the visitors and friends that have come to share with us today, we just say, to God be the glory. And we thank God for you. There is a word from the Lord coming out of the scripture of Matthew's. We're going to read from Matthew's, the 6th chapter, verses 19 through 21. And then you turn over to Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 33 through 34, which Luke will be saying some of what Matthew said, but Luke will give us a little bit more detail as to how we can store up treasures. Okay, and we're having family and friends there, and we know there's nothing that will divide a family like money. Yeah, when it comes down to money, just go to funerals and hear about all that stuff that happens. There's nothing that'll break a family up quicker than money. And so Jesus, he teaches us on what our perspective ought to be towards that. Let us read from the 6th chapter of Matthew, verses 19 through 21. If you have it, say amen. Because I want us to read together. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And let's go to Luke, like I say, Luke 33 and 34, and it reads, 12th chapter of Luke, verses 33 and 34. Okay, let us read. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself for where your treasure is, there. Yes. Just for a moment, I want to talk from the subject is, where is your treasure? Ask your neighbor that question. Say, neighbor, where is your treasure? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure? And that's personal for each one of us. Each one of us have to examine our own heart and decide where is our treasure. Because Jesus say, wherever your treasure is, you can bet that that's where your heart is. That's where you're going to put all your emphasis and all your energy. Whatever it is that pleases you, that's where your heart will follow. In other words, your treasure is going to lead your heart. So if God your treasure, it ought to lead you here to church and Bible study and prayer meeting and Sunday school and ought to lead you in prayer, huh? And study and meditation of God's word, huh? It ought to lead you into the presence of God if God is our treasure. But now if something else your treasure, perhaps money your treasure, then you're going to leave there. You're going to go wherever you can and do all that you can to gain money. Now, Jesus, Matthew is the writer of this book, and Matthew could identify with this message because before Matthew became an apostle of Jesus Christ, he was a hated tax collector. He was despised by the Jews because he was accused of cheating people, taking their money, causing them to pay more taxes than they really owed. So Matthew was really growing rich at the expense of somebody else. And so his treasure was in what? In his riches. That's where his treasure was. But of course, when Jesus called him, all of that changed. And Jesus called him, told him, say, Matthew, come and follow me. And so Matthew, he probably could identify with this message that Jesus was given about storing up our treasures here on earth. You know, and so in this lesson, this is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount discourse. You know where he talks about the Beatitudes? Well, this is part of that discourse. And the reason why it's called the Sermon on the Mount, because in the fifth chapter at the beginning, the Bible says when Jesus saw the crowd, he went up on the mountainside and he sat down. And when his disciples came to him, he began to teach them about the kingdom principles. And so that's why this is called the Sermon on the Mount. And in that teaching, Jesus talks about a variety of issues that he knew that his disciples, as well as the church, was going to have to deal with. And he didn't want them caught up or hung up on the things of this world. And so he began to teach them about money, about wealth, because he knew the deceitfulness of riches and how that would draw them away. He knew that. He knew that money has that deceitfulness to think that, well, if I just get more money, if I just have enough money, everything gonna be all right. Yeah. But money can't buy love. Now, anybody can make somebody happy and happy that they with you because you got money. But it won't buy love. And money cannot buy your health. It might can buy the best doctors, but it cannot buy your health. And money sure enough can't buy salvation. Only Jesus can provide salvation. Money can't buy you peace. Because sometimes when you got money, what? You got to worry about who gonna rob you. That's what Ecclesiastes says. Ecclesiastes 5 and 10, Solomon say, look, those who crave after money, they are never satisfied. He said, you're never satisfied because you're going to always want more. And we can see that in our society today, how greed has taken over. They want more. And some people think the more I have, the better I am. And so they crave for more, and they put all their energy toward getting more and more and more and more and more. More stuff. More material stuff. More money. But you don't have the peace. Because Solomon also said, the more loot you get, the more looters. The more loot you have, then you got to worry about those looters. Because they come. Now, I know all of us, we're not wealthy. But Jesus was dealing with money. And when he talks about treasure, a treasure is anything that you put value on, that you put worth on, that you prize. It may be your prized possession. You know, it could be money. It could be material things. Some people cherish their children and grandchildren. I love mine. Some people cherish their parents, their spouse, grandparents. Some people cherish their job. But in this particular passage of scripture, Jesus was dealing more with money. Because when you look down further in this scripture, in that 24th verse of Matthew, he says you can't serve two masters. He said you're going to either love one and hate the other. or you're going to be loyal to one and despise the other. But you can't serve them both. So he knew the deceitfulness of people thinking that if I have more, then all is well. And the reason why he knew that, because Satan had tried to tempt Jesus. When you go in Matthew's the fourth chapter, and listen, Luke's fourth chapter, when you get home, you can read that story. When Jesus was just had finished baptism, and the Bible says he was led off into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He was led by the Holy Spirit. And to be tempted by the devil. And one of the things that the devil tempted him with, the Bible said that he took him up to a high mountain. And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he told Jesus, he said, Jesus, I give you all of this if you just bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, get away from me. Get behind me, Satan. And he did, and he began to quote the scripture. He said, for it is written. Somebody better know what is written. Jesus said, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. He said to Satan, thou shalt worship the Lord your God. So he was letting Satan know that's your God. Whether you acknowledge him or not, he's still your God. He's still over you. He said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. So if Satan tried to tempt Jesus and deceive him with the riches of the world, what about us? He's still trying to tempt us with the riches of the world. He still wants us to bow down to him and serve him. And many are falling in that trap. Man, I know we're not wealthy. We don't have a whole lot of money. But what do have? God says you ought to be willing to share that. That's what he said. You ought to be willing to share what you do have. And somebody say, well, I don't have much. But when I began to look at this lesson, and when I began to examine myself, and I pray that you will go and examine yourself. We have more than we say we have. Can I talk to the ladies for a minute? We pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars for those hairdos. Don't. Those weave, the bobs, and all that stuff. Hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Yeah. And what about those coaches and those Dooney and Burke and those Michael Kors? We pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars for all that stuff. But if you ask to put $100 in the offering plate, yeah. If somebody asks you to, you'll look at, they must be done went crazy. Have they lost their mind?
Don't forget them nails.
Oh, get them nails. Hundreds of dollars.
Get your nails painted.
And we're willing to do that. We're willing to spend that kind of money on ourselves. And that's what this lesson is talking about. When you look at this lesson, he said, don't lay up treasures for yourselves. So God is not against us having things. He's not against wealth. That wasn't the issue with wealth and money. That wasn't his issue. But he said when we're laying it up, when we're piling it up, when we're storing it up for ourselves, and we don't want to reach out and touch nobody else's life. We don't want to help nobody else. But it's all for ourselves. And I had to examine myself. Because I remember I went to church, to this particular church, and I put in the offering $5. But when I left the church, Pastor, I was hungry. And when I went to the restaurant, I spent $18. And I looked at that situation there. I said, now I gave God $5, and then I gave the restaurant $18. So I said, no, well, where was my treasure, Pastor? It was in my stomach at that time. It was in my stomach. I said, now, there's something wrong with that picture. When I gave God $5 for kingdom building, but I spent $18, Sister Willie, to feed my stomach.
Was my deacon with you?
No, he wasn't with me that time, Pastor. So it's something wrong with that. And that's why Jesus is addressing this. That's why he's addressing this, because we are so easily deceived, and the enemy wants to deceive us. And so he tells us, he says, do not lay up. This is a command, a direct command from God. You need to tell your neighbor, it's not me saying this. It's not the preacher telling you this. God has commanded this. Look, and this is what he said. He said, do not. Somebody, Neil, do you know what do not means? It means do not. It means don't do it. He says, do not lay up for yourselves. Hard for yourselves. Treasures, whatever that is, on earth. Because you do know that no matter what you have is only temporary. You know that only what you do for Christ gonna last. Everything else here is temporary. We are just temporary here. This is not our home. So God said, don't get hung up on things, on these earthly splendors and the beauty of riches. Don't get hung up on that. He says, because the reason why I don't get hung up on it, because it's not lasting. It's uncertain. It's not sure. It's not secure. Because he gives us the reason why we shouldn't do it. Listen to what he said. He said, because the moth, that's for those of us who hung up on clothes. And then food, because moth, you got different kinds. They'll destroy food. They'll destroy the grain in the field. They'll destroy them fine rags. Because see, in that day, you had those rich Pharisees and Sadducees, and they were walking around in their rich garments and stuff, parading around as if they were so important. And it's still like that today. People parade around as if they're important. And they view, and then the world does that, they view people by what they have. They judge your value by what you have or what you don't have. Yeah. Or what position you hold in this world. And so Jesus is teaching us, don't get caught up in that, because none of that stuff is going to last. It's only temporary. The most, I don't care how fine a garment you buy, how rich and elegant that garment looks, the mold will eat through it. He'll destroy. And then he says, where moth and rust. So both moth and rust destroys. Over a period of time, it's going to destroy. How many of you seen some of these bridges around here? They are rusting right now. They are rusting right now. Anybody ever seen a rusted nail? It's supposed to hold something together, but when that nail rusts out, whatever is holding together, it what? It crumbles, it falls, it disintegrates. So Jesus said, if you get caught up, that's what's going to happen. The moth and the rust, those things that destroy these earthly things that we put value on. Paul tells Timothy, he said, Timothy, I command you. I think that's in the 6th chapter, 17th verse of 2 Timothy. He said, I command you that you tell them that are rich to be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but to put their trust in God. And he says, and to do good. Be good in good works. Be rich toward God in good works. So Jesus said, if you lay up treasures here, sooner or later, because two things can happen. It can leave you by natural disaster, fire, wind, and what? Flood. And we see that happening all over. A robbery. Or you can leave it. And what do it profit a man? If you gain all of this world, but you lose your soul. Because there is life after death. Now, it just depends on where you're going to spend it. Yeah. So he said, don't do that. And he said, because the thief, and we accumulate all this stuff, then we got to put bars, burglar bars on the windows. Because we don't want the thieves to come in and take that little stuff we'd accumulated and hoard it up. He said, so we got to worry about what we have. Because the thieves going to come in and steal. People nowadays, you know, they fix up these big fancy cars. But then when they go out of town, they leave the car. And then they go rent them a car. Because they don't want nobody stealing all them thousands of dollar rims that they done put on those cars. They'll take the whole car. They don't just take the tires and the rim. They take the whole car. So Jesus has said to us, when we're worried about or we're geared toward all of these earthly things and all of our thought and all of our energy and all of our time and emphasis is on these earthly things, that's not going to last. It's not going to last. But he says to us, he said, there is another way that you can do this that will last. And he said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. See, in heaven, he said, the moat can't get there. The rust can't get there. The thieves can't get there. In heaven, when we store up good works toward God, when we are rich toward God, when we're helping those that are in need, we're feeding those that are hungry, we're clothing those that are naked. And all of these things, we're doing it out of a sincere heart. Because you know, I talked last month on doing these things, but the motives was all wrong. But Jesus is saying, that's what I want you to store up. Those are treasures that you are storing up in heaven that cannot be taken away. That's undefiled and uncorrupt. That's pure. He said, lay up for yourselves those treasures in heaven where the thief can't break in, where the moth and the rust can't get in. Help somebody along the way. If you have it, share it. That's what God is saying. That's the good treasures that we store. But when we're hoarding things for ourselves, we make them our idol God. They become our little G God. And so Jesus was warning us against that. And that's good teaching. That's good preaching. Not only for the disciples, but that's good for us today. If we would but take heed to that. Because Timothy tells us in 2 Timothy 6 and 7 says, you didn't bring nothing into this world. None of us. When we came in this world, how was we? Naked. And my coworkers say, bucket naked. I said, where you get that word? Bucket. Bucket naked. We came into this world. And bucket naked, we gonna go out this world. Yeah. You don't see no U-Haul behind a hearse. So there, we brought nothing into the world. And it's sure that we will take nothing out. And Paul gave Timothy some good advice. He said, tell the people, if you got food and clothing, therewith be content. If you have the basic, your necessities, be content. Don't go chasing after stuff that's not going to last. He said, but therewith be, because he said, godly gain is of great value. When we godly and we want to do it God's way, he said, that's great value. But everything else is only temporary. So Jesus tells us, he said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, and the moth and the rust can't destroy. No. And the thieves can't break in, because our heavenly treasures are secure, and they are protected. They're incorruptible, and they are pure and undefiled, kept by the power of God.
He secures those treasures when we reach out and share what we have